It's time! All care warriors are taking it down. Raise your voices and stand up this town. We're the champions of craft beer sport. Tolkien Audio, we hold down the fort. It is a special occasion in the TCA studio. We get the gang back together to talk a little fights. Matt Robinson with you in beautiful Bytown, Canada. Make sure you're following along on social media at Tall Can Audio. Subscribed to the podcast wherever you're hearing us right now. And it's been a while since we've been able to get this done. Graham Creech and Steve Bunda both back in studio. What's happening, lads?
Oh, man, it must be a special occasion. Big week this week, Matty.
The pigeon.
I'm good, though. It's you know what? We always take shots at Creech when he's not here, but now he's finally here, so we can't take shots, Matty.
Oh, I still plan to take some shots.
You take some shots.
Yeah, no, exactly.
I'll deliver some to you.
Yeah, no doubt about that. How's it going, Creech?
Great. Great to be here.
That
thanks for... I was a little bit late getting here, so I apologize, and thanks for your patience.
That allowed Bunda and I to have a pint before the show.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, you know what? They're just going to get more creative right now because
I like that
the juices will be flowing with an extra pint or two.
Stuff was flowing for sure and got a little creative. So we're going to have the pints. You cracked first there, Creech. What are you going with?
Well, I got a jutsu from Bellwoods.
That's a good call.
Yeah, I've had this a number of times, but haven't probably for, I don't know. It's been a while, so I saw it in your fridge and I decided on it.
I went with one I've never tried before or even heard before, but Stockyards Brewing Shattered Mirror Galaxy IPA. It's a double dry hopped strong beer, 6%.
Stockyards.
And cool can. Looks like a...
Does it say on there where they are? Stockyards?
Let me do a little bit more
research. A little...
Creech, you want to help me with this reading thing here?
Yeah, if you show me the can.
Kitchener, Ontario.
Okay, got your grade 10, I see.
That one's been in the fridge for a few weeks. I hadn't gotten to it yet, so I hadn't done the research on where it was coming from. I'm going to Beyond the Pale. This is another one that's been sitting in the fridge for a little longer than a couple weeks. This is called the Ball Dropper 2023. I may have had I think I had a couple of them. I'm going back to it anyway. This is their New Year's Eve beer, right? The Ball Dropper, a 6.8% IPA to kick things off. So that's what we're going to do here.
Bitter in your fridge. Yeah. I haven't had that. Is it, that's what I was hemming and hawing between that and Jutsu.
See, I haven't had that one yet either. So you'll let, you know,
great
there'll
logo.
Probably be a, yeah.
And I'm currently doing a rewatch of Better Call Saul.
Right.
Oh, that's a good one. Better than Breaking Bad.
Agreed.
Going on that.
Yes.
First couple seasons, so hard to get into, but man, it's once you get in there, I think season 3, unreal. So good. But Matt,
never seen either one.
What's get in that.
There's some indignance coming across the table here, okay?
But I'm the last person to chirp anybody because I think I didn't start watching TV shows until, I don't know, a couple years.
I'm honestly like rewatching The Office for the fourth time or whatever. It's sort of my level of commitment. I got 22 minutes for a sitcom.
That's why you enjoy being a Leaf fan.
That's it, man. It doesn't last long. Don't have to, the weather's getting nice. I can't be watching playoff hockey till June. I got to be out by the end of April.
Well, what's with the 2023 beer? You didn't have enough last year?
Wow, that's Ball Dropper 2023. That would have been this year's New Year's Eve, I guess, right?
Trying to get rid of last year, 2023, right? Yeah. Terrible years, last couple.
But hey, we went twice as far in the playoffs as we normally do in 2023. I'm intrigued by something that Creech brought up before we fired up the microphones here. What do you say? The Uncrustable?
Oh, yeah. Uncrustables are where it's at.
Is this new?
I don't think so. It might be relatively newish to Canada, within the last year or two. I have no idea how long
it's
been here.
They're just frozen peanut butter and jam sandwiches that you take out, and as the morning goes, they'll thaw, and you can have it for lunch. That's
they
the
are,
idea.
For me, what I love about them, they're the perfect golf snack.
Okay,
so
okay.
If I'm golfing, and I know, if it's early, and I'm probably not going to...
This is the
make
height
a breakfast.
Of laziness, right? Not making your own peanut butter sandwich.
No. It's not making the sandwich. Just make a peanut butter sandwich. Picture making a peanut butter and jam sandwich and taking it on the road with you.
Yeah, no, it's a
it's going to get everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
The Uncrustable, it's in a bag, bag.
Uncrustable.
And then it's sealed on, it looks like a pizza pocket.
And it's uncrusted, right? The crust has been cut off, so it's like we're 8 years old again, which is awesome.
If I'm golfing
early. Is it cut in fours?
No, it's a round. It looks like a pizza pocket. Okay. That's exactly what it looks like. And like the ratio to jam and peanut butter is perfect.
Do you know if it is it raspberry jam, strawberry jam?
Like that
you,
I'm not sure. Of.
Okay. I don't know why I care that much. I just know I'm a raspberry jam guy.
They're my golf snack. If I don't have time to eat before, just toss a couple in the bag and
we had this thing.
We're good to go.
From when I was a kid, I remember from M&M meat shops. Which I know is rebranded now. They're like M&M Food Market or something. I don't know. It's supposed to be classier or something. They were frozen grilled cheese sandwiches. And they came in these individually wrapped cellophane bags. And you were supposed to open the bag and then put it in the microwave to heat it up. But you were supposed to like just open the bag, still leave it in there. And as I think back on it now, the amount of times I probably was eating like cellophane nuked right into my sandwich as a kid. Like we'd come home from school and make like two or three of them. It was.
I've never heard of these.
I don't know if it's still a thing.
We did a lot of M&M meat shop back in the day. I don't remember those.
No, this was frozen grilled cheese sandwiches.
Best box wings you can get, like store bought wings, M&M meat shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're Louisiana style box wings. I think it's like, it's ridiculous though.
I think I've only ever had the salt and pepper out of there.
Oh, like, man. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're Louisiana style best box wings you can get, but it's like 20, 30 bucks a box now.
Right.
Wings are expensive, which brings me to my first point. I went over to Beyond the Pale the other day before I went and saw Bowling for Soup, Matty.
Bowling for Soup.
That's right. Fun show, goofy, kind of just funny guys.
Full of people that would eat frozen grilled cheese and peanut butter sandwiches.
Bunch of chubby dudes. They're literally playing like punk rock songs. They were real fun. But I went out to Beyond the Pale, had their mullet, which is their wheat IPA, real good beer. But then after that, and had their wings there too at the Smoke Shack, real good spot as well.
Smoke Shack is the
bomb. Yeah.
Their wings, unreal.
So is Beyond the Pale.
Sure. Yeah. Of course.
Such a great team to go for, you know, a pint and then I got some wings. But then I was with a couple people and Buddy's girlfriend was kind of getting cold. We were out in the patio with Sunny, but it was starting to get shady in the air. So we went walking kind of towards Bronson Center because that's where the show was. And we went to Preston Street and stopped at Pubwells, which is a little English bar. And just for her to warm up and get inside for a bit before we went to the show. Sure enough, they wanted to get some snacks too, food. I was like, you know what? All right, if they have wings here, I'm going to get wings. Just double down, more wings, try it out. Never been to this place. So I went to Pubwells on Preston. Wings, $18 a pound, which was, okay, you know what? Not bad for today.
Yeah.
But $1 to toss your wings in hot sauce. You had to pay a charge if you wanted tossed wings. Who the hell is charging to toss wings? Is there a labor? Sorry, I got to throw your hot sauce in a bowl? What's the difference between a side and whatever? I was so grumpy. I didn't order wings. I'm probably not going back to Pubwells because of this.
Seem a bit much. It's like, all know wings are coming.
I have never seen that.
No,
anywhere. And I get wings in a lot of places. Fee.
Thank you for having my back, tossing guys. Fee. I was mad.
So you just flat out didn't have the wings.
No,
you would have had. That would have been your second order of wings in what, like an hour?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
That's pretty.
You know, I would have been down.
I know you would have been down. There's no way I could do that.
I like when I go to new spots, new kind of pubs. Like
that's what I want to judge them on is the wing.
Yeah. Well, usually, like I love a good spot where you can go. Like you know, you can if you ever want to go for like a beer and like wings. Like,
yeah.
You know, easy snack. I always get wings almost everywhere I go because that's just my go-to, unless it's classy
twice
spots.
Twice one day. Twice within 2 hours.
Yeah. No, it's just like, yo, I'll give them a shot here, whatever it is. Okay. Hot wings. But then when they had the $1 charge, if it wanted hot
that's
sauce,
really lame. Like,
what's the difference? I get it on the side. You want to toss it?
Like pub, not so well, I say.
Pubwells? I was grumpy. Real upset about it. So great job Beyond the Pale, though. Solid wings. Yep. Father Time, great wings.
Okay.
Good beer. Pubwells, thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
Don't charge me to throw hot sauce on my friggin' wings.
You should have asked for like an oversized bowl and the wings and the sauce and just done it yourself.
I brought my own sauce.
See, and that's the thing. I'd already ate, so I was already like as soon as I saw that, I was just not in the mood.
Yeah.
Just wasn't feeling it, and just ruined it. Wet blanket right there, trying to charge me.
Good
for
selection
that.
Of beers, though.
Yeah. I ended up having a Bose Juiced as F.
Yeah.
AF is what they call
AF,
it.
AF. Yeah.
Juiced as fuck. IPA. Solid beer. Solid glass too. Real cool glass. But one
did
good
go home
pint.
With it?
Unfortunately, not.
Lame.
I tried to get someone to grab it for me, but
you need someone with a purse, and she's got to be up for it.
And then we had to go to the concert, and you know,
that's going to be trouble.
You
just mentioned the glass. I'm like, is he talking because he liked it a lot that he may have left with it?
The Bose, real good IPA from them, though. I liked it, the Juiced AF. I threw a can in there for Maddie into his fridge to
true,
nice,
give it a nice shot. But if you ever out and you get it on draft. Like I said, it was a real cool mug.
Okay. So I can go there, check out a cool mug, but no wings.
Throw a stink
up.
Bring
your own bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bring my own sauce completely.
No, because it'll come with the sauce, yeah. Right, on the side.
You just have to toss it yourself.
You just got
to
toss it.
Mm. See, I had a wing place out here in Nepean that I used to order from a lot, and they would just send the wings over with the sauce already on it. And honestly, that's what I wanted. And then they started creating an option that said, we get it. It's delivery. If you'd rather wait, you know, kind of rewarm the sauce when it gets to you and throw it on, then we kind of get that. I was close enough that it wasn't necessary. And then they took away the original option of having it already on. And I was like, well, screw you. Like, this seems like a lot of work to have to toss my own wings. I'm not going to do that.
I don't mind it because it makes the wings a bit soggier. It can happen.
But sure. This place was pretty close. So it was... Anyway,
when you're eating wings, are you guys dippers? Like, would you rather dip your into the sauce or you just toss it?
Slather it right up.
For sure. Yeah. Toss.
So we're all on the same page for that, too. Some people do like it. I'm down with the option. I'm not paying an extra dollar, though, to make sure I have my wings tossed.
I don't mind dipping, like, the pub we go to where I play hockey, Kanata Sports Club, one of the greatest places in the city.
Nice.
You dip them there. Like, and it's, I'm not upset about it.
No.
There's no, like, fee or anything like that.
Exactly.
But, yeah, if I'm making my own wings or if you ask me my preference, it's tossed for sure. I want every inch of those wings covered.
So we've all brought something to the table here food-wise. Creature had the frozen peanut butter and jam sandwiches.
It wasn't frozen.
No, it was frozen at one point.
Oh, well, yes, at one point.
Okay, yeah. I had the
savage here.
The grilled cheese and cellophane sandwiches.
And it doesn't have crust.
I was having.
Uncrustables.
Yeah, it doesn't have crust.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys never heard of them.
No.
Well, I've heard of them.
I'm about to. Like,
I know Costco carries them. I don't know if they're anywhere else. I have no idea.
Oh, so they come in like a box of 64 or something?
There's a large number of them.
All right, I'm looking forward to checking that out. I'm also looking forward to checking out this weekend's UFC 300 card. And I guess maybe before we get into that, I want to take you back to UFC 100, UFC 200. I'm curious, for either one of those big ones, did you do anything crazy for those cards that were sort of tent post cards, anniversary cards? They were built up really big. They brought in big stars, made sure it was set up well. UFC 200 had a little party here at the condo, just like four or five people. It was nothing big. But UFC 100, there was a huge party at Pub 101 down in the market. I don't even know if that place is still a thing. You guys are down in that area reasonably often. Are they still open, Pub 101?
Oh, yeah, right on the corner.
So it's three floors for people not from the Ottawa area. And for that night, that Saturday night, they said they were going to shut off the music on all three floors. Like, one floor is sort of like your typical bar. The top floor is kind of like a dance club area. I don't really remember what the theme of the middle one was for. But they had this, they'd been advertising for months, we're going to have UFC 100 here. And so I went down there with a few friends and we're looking around for tables. And somehow we ended up going out this side door accidentally, but onto the patio. And there was an empty table with six seats and a TV right above it. Like, I think we found our spot. Because UFC 100 was mid-August, I believe, or early August in 2009. And the whole night, like, that place was full of people who would normally, like I said, that place on a Saturday night would be jammed full of kids way cooler than me out trying to dance and have a good time. They had TVs everywhere out on the patio. It was a... Like, that was a blast, and it really felt like a big deal that they were going to go out of their way to create a, you know, a situation like that. Did either of you guys do anything for 100 or 200 that you recall?
I did, but I'm blanking on the name of the bar. You'd probably know. Tailgater is what it is now. What did it used to be called before? I'm blanking.
Oh,
they had, Hall,
right here, right by Merivale Mall, not far from the studio.
This is driving me nuts because usually...
Are you sure it wasn't Tailgaters back then?
No, there was something else before. And the reason it's making me crazy is because they had the same bar. I don't know if it was a chain, but there was a place in Oshawa where I used to live that had the exact same name.
This is driving me crazy because even to this day, like if I'm referring to that place, usually I'm calling it by the old one and not Tailgaters. I can't believe that I can't think of a name. Anyways, that's where
this is one of those fun moments in radio and podcasting where you know there are people listening. Come on!
Yeah. I'm going to have to figure it out at some point. But we were at whatever that location is.
Yeah.
I think we played pool. We must have played pool. Sure. That's where we went.
Yeah.
But I can remember, like, where the TV was, like, because there was TVs all over the place. And I can remember the exact TV I watched, not only GSP win, because I
– Thiago Alves was and GSP.
Definitely that, but definitely Michael Bisping and Dan Henderson
right.
is, like, what sticks out to me for that card. And Dan Henderson walking out to Lunatic Fringe and then the posterizing of Michael Bisping with that knockout,
yes.
that vicious knockout.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember everything about that night except for what that bar was called.
Man, I don't – I can't remember exactly, but back in 09, I was 18 for that card. What I remember was that was the big one for Brock Lesnar to get his revenge fight on Frank Mir.
Yep.
He got the big win on that, and then he got in his face and he got all – you know, a guy grilled them.
Was that the Bud Light Coors Light night, or was that different?
I'm going to go home tonight. I'm going to drink a Coors Light. That's a Coors Light because Bud Light won't pay me nothing. I'm going to sit down with my friends and family. And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight. See y'all later.
I don't remember if that was that or Heath Herring, but it was one of those
You
nights.
Might be right, yeah.
But back then, I was 18. We used to go do Le Cajot Sport in Quebec.
Nah, okay.
I was the 18 year, like I was the older friend.
On
so,
the way to Pig Al's? Or...
No, because we would literally just go to Le Cajot all the time because a lot of spots wouldn't have it back. Like it was tough to have it. You have to go to a big spot, but also being underage because I was 18 and everybody else like I was with was either 18 or 17 and younger
right.
at that time.
Yep.
I was still in high school. I just graduated high school.
Look
this one.
Guy.
But yeah, I remember that fight being the big one was Brock Lesnar versus Frank Mir, but also GSP too, Alves. That was, but again, he was just so good back then.
One of the things that I remember about that fight, the Thiago Alves GSP fight at UFC 100, is there was a kick. I'm pretty sure it was in the GSP fight where he twice missed going for an inside leg kick and clipped Alves right in the bag, and they had to stop the fight. And they would show the replay like two or three times while the guys were taking a break, and this whole bar being like, oh, like that reaction of, you know, and the whole crowd obviously was doing the same at the arena down in Vegas, but watching in a venue like that with so many people, you could hear throughout this three-floor bar all the guys reacting at once to this. I could be wrong that I know it was at that card. I might be wrong on which fight it was in. But yeah, that was the Lesnar-Mir rematch because they had faced off once before and Lesnar was dropping those, you know, lunchbox fists on him, and Mir squeaks out, grabs the leg and takes him out. And this was Lesnar being like, I've learned that lesson and I'm going to come back and smash him pretty fast.
Le Scratch
is the name of the bar.
Le Scratch. Shout out to my buddy John Kruppi. I texted my boys group chat and I'm like, boys, like what?
Come on. Come on. Right.
What's tailgaters before?
Right.
Immediately.
And there was a Le Scratch, like a 4-minute drive from my house in Oshawa as well. I don't know which one came first. I don't know. Like, it's obviously must have been some sort of small chain or something. And it's too much of a coincidence. Otherwise.
I only know it from here, but that's, yeah. Okay, we used to go there a lot back in the day when we were, what,
my 18, cousin's 19. A year younger than me, and he grew up in Oshawa and then went to Algonquin. And he texted me. He's like, they got a Le Scratch up here. Like, he probably didn't text me. I think it was probably on MSN Messenger at the time. But UFC 200, like I said, I'm a little older by then. I'm slowing down. It's 2016. I'm happier to just have some people to the house. I know from talking to you guys a little bit afterwards, sometimes, Creech, maybe you especially, prefer now to watch big sports events kind of on your own. Was that still the case, you know, or was that already the case back at 200?
Oh,
did you
no,
do
no,
anything
no.
for
so
that
I,
one?
Just to clarify, I only do that for like Michigan football.
Okay, okay.
Like if my team is in a championship game
right.
or if even if Michigan's playing just Ohio State in the game, I want to be solo or with a buddy or two who are also fans. But no, big events like that, no, I'm definitely cool to get with people, and I think that for 200 we were probably at one of my buddy's houses,
yeah.
And there was probably 10-15 of us that were together watching it. But yeah, definitely by 200 we were kind of done with
you're slowing
going to
down
the bar to
bars.
To watch
yeah.
Them, yeah,
yeah, I get that. What about you, Bunda?
I don't think I did anything for 200, but I don't remember I think I was either working or there was something happening, because I don't remember watching too much of 200 Live. And if I did, it was maybe with a couple buddies. But the only thing I remember, like, I remember the card and what happened. I know Mark Hunt was brought in, and him and Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar had
Brock was the big surprise. Remember 199, they unveiled, and Ariel had gotten the scoop, and he got thrown out of. That was a mess. But they brought back.
Not happy.
No, they brought back Brock Lesnar, though, as a big name to help sell the card. He had been back in WWE for a while. He beat up Mark Hunt and then had that overturned because, surprise, surprise, Brock Lesnar was on the juice at the time.
Yeah. But I remember that was supposed to be Daniel Cormier versus John Jones.
That's right,
and yeah. John Jones pulled out, wasn't able to, so it was...
I don't think he pulled out. I think he tested positive himself or something. Wasn't that the...
There was a lot going on.
Yeah, is that when DC was crying backstage when he was told the news?
I think so, yeah. And so they replaced that fight and they bring in Daniel Cormier and Anderson Silva.
Yeah. And just that was a letdown.
It really
is. You know, it's possible I didn't even go out for that one. Maybe I might just be thinking of 202. Because Connor fought, I think, on 202,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So, that's probably where we got together for.
What was the one that was in Toronto? Was it 190 something?
194.
It was John Jones versus Gustafson, one of the best fights of all time. It was close to that. And I always mix up 200 because of that, because I know that John Jones was supposed to fight at 200.
That card, that 200 card was in flux like four times that week. Everything was fine up until Wednesday. Then John Jones gets the news that he's not going to be allowed to fight because he's tested positive. So Thursday, and if you guys remember in 200, they did like a couple smaller cards, like that were sort of like one-offs in Vegas. You had to have Fight Pass. They weren't full UFC shows, but they had, I believe it was going to be Eddie Alvarez versus Rafael Dos Anjos for, like, what would that have been, the lightweight title at the time. And they brought them, or they announced on Thursday, you know what, we're moving that on because it's a title fight. We're going to put that on 200. And then all of a sudden they got Anderson Silva to agree to fight DC. So they took the lightweight fight back off the card and said, this is enough. We can float that. We still have Mark Hunter. Why do I keep doing that? Mark Hunt. That on my mind, man. Mark Hunt and Brock Lesnar. And then Miesha Tate and Amanda Nunes ended up being the main event because it was a title fight. But that card changed like three or four times in the 3 days leading up to it. It was total chaos.
To think really, and for me too, especially, probably you too, Creech, it's why I probably don't remember it as much. And why I don't remember if I watch it, or I just know that I remember 200 was a bit of a letdown.
Yeah. 100 felt like a bigger deal than 200 did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in every way.
And for me, like GSP was easily my favorite.
Same.
Favorite fighter and one of my favorite athletes of all time. So that would have been appointment viewing no matter what number was on the card. Like if it was 97 or
true
whatever.
True enough. Yeah.
Now that we're talking about it, I don't think I did go watch with a group the 200. It was definitely 202 because. Okay. Connor was the draw, right?
No one remembers the middle. It's like the middle child, right? Nobody remembers the middle. 200?
Well,
100 was the milestone. Now 300, that's the big one.
Well, even 300, and I guess we're going to get into it now. Like, I love the card. It's stacked, but I still feel like they should have found some way to have Conor McGregor on it.
It's something like that.
I don't think it was their fault.
Well, I don't know what it is. You never... You listen to some people talk about it, and they're like, "This should have been made." You listen to Dana talk about it; he's like, "Well, he's a billionaire. I don't know if he ever wants to fight again." Like, so I don't know what it is.
I don't either, to be honest.
But it feels like it's something that if he wants to fight again, and he says that he does in interviews, that they should have made that happen.
Well, or something along those lines. Like, by all accounts, they approached, believe it or not, GSP again, and he was like, "I don't need to be coming back after
I'm making cold bath TikToks."
That's right.
Brock, I don't know whether they would. He's in his mid 40s now, and he's sort of tied to some not so good things around WWE at the moment. Like, there was some names that I think
Habib, I think, was offered a show.
Yeah.
His manager said, and that guy, I don't know how much I trust half the time.
Fair enough. So you look at this card in comparison, and as Creech said here a second ago, I think. Out of the three cards, top to bottom, it's the best out of 100, 200, 300. But 100 and 200 were more top-heavy, had those better top-end names, those mainstream appeal names that were going to bring people in. Like, at 200, they had, I'm trying to remember now, they had Cain Velasquez in the first fight. Mm-hmm. Of that, so it was a decent card too, and this one I think is the best card. It just seems like it lacks a little something, And like they tried some things, and Dana White's out there saying it's the biggest card ever. And what else are you going to say when you're trying to promote 300? I get what his job is in this moment.
It is deep. I'm not going to shit on it today. No. Like I think it's awesome. And I know I'm not even a big McGregor guy anymore, but he's just such a draw that just adds to.
It would have added something to it to have a big name like that. We could finally get that Chandler fight or whatever it was going to be there for Connor. But when you look at the three of them, I think 100 was promoted. Remember they had like on Spike in the weeks leading up to it, the top 100 fights in UFC history. Yeah. Like they just did such a good job of building it. 200 was a bit of the same, but those were, to me, were more top heavy cards. Whereas this one, top to bottom, is probably the best. And it sort of feels like they're going to have to sell this one on the number, right? And I don't want to make this a wrestling conversation, but they sell tickets now to WrestleMania in like September, knowing, look, it's our biggest event of the year. You know, we're going to give you something good. Just buy your tickets now and then see where the story goes for the next 6 months. And the name, long before the matches are announced, is what sells out those stadiums. And this sort of feels like that to me, in that, okay, trust us, because this doesn't, to the average fan, maybe to the lapsed fan who isn't watching as much anymore, there's a lot of names on this card that aren't going to be those big, well-known mainstream names or maybe that you saw in The Ultimate Fighter back when that was a huge deal. But it's 300. Trust us, it's going to be a good card. Is that sort of the feel you guys are, maybe without the WrestleMania tie-in, but sort of feeling like, do you think at the end of the day, even though the buzz isn't there going in, this will have a similar buy rate, you know, as many people watching it as the first two that we're kind of talking about here, 100 and 200?
I don't. I think the UFC kind of, especially Dana White, put his foot in his mouth when he teed up that the main event was going to be something fight fans can't handle. And you hear all the rumors and everything, and even Jamal Hill right before, like he said he found out the day before that he was headlining 300.
Yeah, the day before it was announced.
Yeah. So I think that they were trying to sell it on the name, but I do think that they tried everything they could. Conor McGregor has been supposed to be fighting since December of like 2022, and he just keeps pushing it back, pushing it back. I personally believe that he's not passing his drug test. Have you guys seen Roadhouse? The guy's a monster.
They don't even have USADA anymore. No. So it's clearly something to do with that.
Yeah.
And I think a ton of other shit, too.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And I think
you said, that Roadhouse, he does not look like he's ever hitting lightweight again.
Oh, right? Watch Roadhouse?
I watched it because of I wanted to see how good it was. I heard a lot of people saying how terrible it was. Hmm. But I was kind of just interested just in general, and I did. It wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. It was very meh. Like, right. I'm never watching it again, but it was okay of a watch.
Sure.
But he's just absolutely jacked, and he's very much playing a Conor McGregor role. Like, the opening scene, he's walking through.
Does
like
he
some
act
public...
or does he just do the Conor like?
Exactly. The opening scene is like, he's like some big time, like, kind of like a hitman guy to guy, and he's walking through an entire crowd of people butt naked. Like, whole thing hanging out, and he's walking by with the Conor McGregor strut, and he's smiling, and he goes and he blows up, oh, I'm going clothes shopping, and he, like, grabs a coat and he blows the place up, and he just, that's the opening scene, and that's the way he is the whole time, just some crazy SOB. And it's just like, it wasn't very good, but he is huge in it, and I've seen pictures since then where he looks a lot smaller, but I'm assuming that's why he never ended up getting this card, and that's why we never have a date. I don't know, a couple weeks ago, my big prediction is that at UFC 300, Connor comes out with Chandler. They announce that they're going to fight at whatever, fight 303 week. Sometime this summer. He said summer a couple weeks ago. There's been
fall. We've heard next year.
Yeah.
Like,
I think 300, though, is where they bring him out, so he's still a part of it. He's going to be out. They're going to announce the fight. That's my prediction for this weekend, as I think they announce it. But I do believe they wanted him there. I believe they wanted a lot of different fights for the main event. And like I said, Dana White put his foot in his mouth. Look, I go back to UFC 100. That card was stacked. John Jones was on the prelims. Yep. Like,
he wasn't yet John Jones that we know, but you're right.
There was hype around him though back then at that time. 100%. Like, he was that up and coming guy. Sure, I still think this is the best card. I look at it like, so far, you want to compare.
Look at, you got, speaking of prelims, like, you got
all the way up in Aljamain Sterling.
Yeah,
is on
Sterling
the prelims.
And Cater on a prelim. Like, that's
a loaded card.
Cody Garbrandt, Divison Figueiredo, like, kicking off.
Cody, no chin. Let's go.
No love, my baby.
Is it Julianna Pena? There's a women's fight at the top of those prelims, too, that's got two, like, people who have headlined big cards before. Yeah. So this
Holly
is a very...
Holly Holm is on there, too.
Holly Holm is going to be great. She's facing off with Kayla.
Mm-hmm. Kayla Harrison.
Harrison. I was going to say Henderson. But yeah, it's Kayla Harrison. Like, that's going to be fascinating. Like, up and down the card, and we will get into that. This is a solid night of a
deepest
fight.
Card.
But yeah, I don't know, Creech, where do you stand on this? Do you think this was, you know, intentionally we're going to build a really deep card and sell the UFC 300 title, or are you kind of with Bunda that they waved at some stuff here? They tried to go bigger.
Oh,
and this
they
is
wanted
what
to go bigger names,
yeah,
for sure. Like, I think a lot of people are pumped up for Pereira and Hill, but yeah, they wanted something sexier than that for sure. Like, it just definitely on injuries, on other guys fighting and getting hurt and closer to the 300 date than they would have liked.
They scheduled Volk in January, and he was like, I could do it. And you're like, this guy needs to slow down.
Yeah, just several things that happened. Like, I think they definitely wanted some bigger names, but I like the card. And to tie in your what's it called, WrestleSlam reference, is what's going to happen
is he knows.
After Pereira and Hill fight, whoever wins,
the Undertaker
is going to then have to go on and they're going to fight John Jones. And then when they get through John Jones, they're going to have Anderson Silva come back and they're going to have to go through him. And then they can become light heavyweight champion.
Okay, yeah. No, I like the elbow. I like the that's good. I'm with you guys. Obviously, they wanted to do better. And I think for the hardcore, like, Bunda, you're a hardcore. You're watching every show. You're watching Dana White's Contender
Series,
like, all this stuff.
Fight Nights?
Oh, yeah. Like, if there's something on and there's a fighter I want to watch, Dana White Contender Series I like a lot. The Ultimate Fighter hasn't been very good since Volkanovski versus Ortega. I watched a bit of Nunes Pena. It was okay, but it's kind of gone a little bit downhill the last couple of years. But I like to watch as much as I can.
Yeah. Whereas,
see, I'm not like that anymore.
See, that's where I was just going to say, too. I don't know how you'd want to categorize Creech and I, who, like, if there's a big card, I'll probably still check it out, but I'm not watching the fight nights every weekend unless there's a main event or somebody that you've told me, get a look at this, or there's a name I recognize there. I'm not watching, but there's a level, I was going to say below, I don't want to frame it that way. There's a level further past Creech and I that maybe watched during that Tito Ortiz, you know, Randy Couture, the first couple seasons of The Ultimate Fighter, that this was a huge deal. Everyone was talking about it. And those people, I think, in a lot of cases have sort of lapsed. Even the people who came in with Conor McGregor in that second wave, he's sort of been gone, and those people have lapsed a little bit. And so I think if you're a fan like Creech or I, or certainly a fan like Bunda, you would look at this card and go, this is going to be crazy good. But I think if you're trying to, you know, sell the lapsed fan on this poster or like this card, I think you're going to have a hard time. I think the buzz of 300 isn't where you would expect it to be.
A quiet week for sure.
Yeah.
Well, no, just look at the main card. There's not a name on that card that, like, the casual fan that doesn't follow it would know.
Right.
Like, not a single one.
No. Yeah. Like, you were able to sell 200.
And I'm not saying they're not big names, because they're big names if you follow
in the
fighting
industry, right? If you follow fighting. That's right. But you were able to lure in a, you know, last time, even back to 200, you were able to kind of reach out even to the wrestling world and go, look, we got Brock Lesnar is here, right? Or Miesha Tate was one of those names that was part of that first wave of women's fighting when that first came in. So there was some things that I think were more accessible to a casual fan. I don't know what you guys think. Like, as far as the casual fan goes,
maybe Max Holloway, Justin Gaethje.
I was going to say Holly Holm. Just because she fought Ronda early on, right? Like, is that a...
Yeah, I just...
I know she's past her prime, but...
tuning in for Holly Holm
No, but as the most recognizable name to a casual sports fan, maybe? Maybe I'm wrong. I just...
Yeah.
You know, had some headlines there with Ronda and things like that. So, I don't know. I think they're going to have to hope that this sells big to fight fans.
I think it's
going to
do numbers anyways.
Yeah.
I don't think they're worried about
it. But I don't think it touches 200 or 100.
It's one of those things where let the night play out. One thing we always know, it's like when you overhype, like how deep things are, how great these
fights
are.
When I say touches it, I mean, again, sales, not quality, right? I just mean in terms of...
Yeah. No, I think it does. I think it does.
Easily. Okay.
Yeah.
Easily, okay.
I think there's still a huge market for that. I just, for me, like, I watch every pay-per-view.
Yeah.
I pretty much don't watch a fight night.
Right.
Unless, like you said, if there's someone on it that's headlining it, or if it's in Canada or something like that, then I'll watch it. But I'm just busy too. Like, even at every single pay-per-view, I'm usually working the Sens game until 11 p.m. and so I'm missing part of it or whatever. But
that's been really rewarding lately. I'm sure it is. It's a fight of its own.
Ready
the Creech
for the
is dealing with at this point. Right?
A fight of its own. That's a good way to put it.
All right, well, we can get into the card here in a second. We'll take a quick break. We're going to rehydrate. We'll be back.
Go! Go! Dead.
All right, let's jump back in here and get into the actual card itself and see what you guys are excited for, what you're looking forward to. But first, we got a new round of pints there. Creech, what did you just crack into?
Yeah, I just cracked open the Bourbon Maple from Whippersnapper.
I got one of those in my hand, too. Yeah, I'm looking forward to trying this.
It's been a while since I've been... I used to go to Whippersnapper a lot.
Right.
And it's not like I'm avoiding them. I just... haven't been in a while.
You've moved to a different part of the city. The guy's got kids now.
Yeah,
I guess
that's part of it.
Creature's been domesticated a little bit here.
Even part of the reason I was always going to be late. I had something going on, but I was later than I anticipated because I just figured I figure I'm 15 minutes away from anything, but it just took like half an hour. So that's I'm not complaining. It doesn't feel like a half an hour.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know. I'm happy to crack open another Whippersnapper.
And, yeah, Ian from
a trip there soon.
You guys will get a kick out of this. A week or two ago when Versage was in here, he stopped at Whippersnapper to pick up a couple things, and he met Ian, who runs the place and is a friend of the show. He's been in here a few times, and he said, "Oh, if you're going over now to see Matt, I got a few things for them. I got something for Rob. I got something for Mendez to try. I got a couple things for Matt. Can you take them?" And Lee was kind of standing there like, "Yeah. Anything for me? No, nothing. Sorry." I enjoyed that.
Cold
that
was shoulder to Lee.
I enjoyed that quite a bit. So
that's funny. Did he send a Bud Light for Mendez?
He sent some sort of. I haven't taken a close look at it in a while, but it's a light IPA, I believe. Because
okay, I'm just chirping.
No, of course.
I saw Mendez Ian take a lot of heat posting a Bud Light, and then.
You had a Mick Ultra.
That's
I think.
What it was. Yeah. So it was a Michelob Ultra here.
Yes, yes.
And then like a week later, he went to PWHL game, and he's like, "Everyone was upset about my post, so here's my Bud
Light.
My
new beer.
Yeah,
exactly. This is not better." But
he's not a beer guy.
He's
either.
Not at all.
Not anymore. No, he's not.
If anything, this would be the one.
Yeah, actually, I thought bourbon. The bourbon, the maple. I thought of Lee. The bourbon. I thought of.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh yeah, he's like a bourbon gin.
Right.
Wine. Yeah.
And so Ian knows that when he comes in. And so I always have like a couple like farmer's daughters from Whitewater. It's Whitewater, I think.
Yeah, Whitewater, yeah.
A couple of lighter beers for him. And then I always will have like a Mick Ultra if he wants to have a pint. And he'll always grab that and sit down. And so we were talking about that the last time he was in here. And Ian from Whippersnapper was listening and said, "I'm going to send something over for him. Just, it's nothing crazy. I just want to expand his horizons just a little bit the next time he's in." So I believe... and I could be wrong. I have saved it for Ian. It'll be here the next time he's
nice.
In. But I believe it's a light IPA. See if we can get him out there just a little bit.
Do you happen to know if they still have the cream egg going?
They did again this Easter. That was...
No. Did they still have
it? Oh, no. I think it's gone.
It's sold
now.
Out. Yeah,
I think I was talking
I've
to Ian.
I missed it for the last year or two.
I think Ian told me that the things he had sent over, and that was one or two. No. Lee had picked up a couple of the Easter cream egg, which... You know, fits, the shoe fits. I think Ian said to me that everything that was in that package or that came over that day is now gone for the year. So you're right, that Easter cream egg is awesome. I tell people, you can ask Siri, right? Like you can put it in your reminders for next year, the week before Easter.
Well, I follow them on Instagram, so right. I do always see it. It just doesn't work out that I kind of get in there.
So, Bunda, what pint did you grab this time?
I went with it's a Grit and Grain Beer Company, but I went with the Bob's Best English Ale.
Ooh.
It's got a bunch of I think mustaches on it. Is that mustaches, Creech? Yeah, I think so. They got to be stashes, right? Bob's definitely got a stash.
Bob.
I don't know what that is.
What's up, Bob?
Couple stashes, it looks like.
Yeah,
yeah. Community focused small batch craft beer company in Hamilton. So I'll give this one a
Grain and Grit, they make nice stuff, man. And they've been in the calendar that our friend there, Andy, over at the Nita Beer Company builds every holiday season. I'm having the same one as Creech here. This is the bourbon maple or the maple bourbon. Yeah, bourbon maple. 6% from Whippersnapper. I am getting big time maple off of this.
I like that taste.
Yeah, I do too. This is really nice. And
look, I'm not a huge, like I like some maple, but
right.
Like Versage.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
yeah. Jackie Beck, Perth Maple. Like,
yes,
that's all
Jackie
they talk
Beck
about.
Is this is stronger. Yeah. This has more maple than the Perth Maple does.
And I like one.
Sure.
Like the first time I ever tried one was at Kraft.
Right.
AJ's like, you gotta try the Perth Maple. So I tried it and it was good. But he had like six or seven. And I'm like, there's no way I could have six or seven maple syrups. Like,
is there anything just, you know, we'll get back to 300 in a second. Half the fun here is the beer thing.
Yes.
When you go to a place like Kraft there over at Lansdowne, is there anything good enough to get you to stay for six or seven? Or do you like,
oh, yeah.
No, see, for me, I have to bounce around. In a place like that, with that many taps.
Yeah.
So I don't mean to actually stay. I mean, like, I really like this one. And in any other situation, I would have a couple more, but I got to see what's next. I got to find out what that other tap is.
Yeah, that's what
is.
I do too.
Yeah.
Depends if it's happy hour. Usually they have a pretty good happy hour where it's whatever, a couple bucks off of Ontario craft beers, whatever it is.
Yeah.
If I'm drinking something I like and they only have a couple of whatever it is, I'll stick to that.
Okay.
I'm very good.
They used to have like a game day special, like on Red Blacks game days for like $4 or something.
Good luck getting in there on Red Blacks days, though.
Like. I think that's what their happy hour was, $4. Like was a $4. Nice. Usually it would be Ontario craft beer. But
yeah
on Red Blacks game days, that place is always like packed either before or after the game. It's almost impossible.
Honestly, I was over there.
Still a great spot.
Not if you know people like Aaron John.
Aaron John.
True enough. Nothing is too packed for AJ. He gets in where he needs to get in. I was over there a few weeks ago for a fundraising event with Mr. Shrides, Josh, and we were having a couple of pints. And the first thing I tried, and I talked about it on the show back then, I can't remember now what the name of it was a fantastic stout. And I just said to him, like, I'm staying on this all night. And by the time I was done, I was like, nah, I got to have something else. Like, in those situations, it's too hard, right? There's a whole big world out there to explore. I have to keep moving on to other things. Now, I did circle back to it. I made that first one that I loved my last one, like, but I had to keep trying other things. I can't in that sort of environment. It's I have tough. To keep moving on. I got to keep trying the next one.
Yeah,
you never agreed. Know, right? What you're gonna find. So this one, a lot of maple. I've said it 100 times on the show, so I won't dwell on it. If you say on your label that this is a maple something, bring the maple. Don't be subtle. Don't hint at it. I want it. Bring it. They're bringing it here. There is maple in this. It's coming through strong. I'm loving this beer.
You know who would love it? Buddy the Elf would love it.
Buddy the Elf.
Any bourbon in it or what?
I'm not getting a lot of bourbon off of it. Are you, Creech?
Let me have another sip.
Yeah. Well, you're going to have to, right? So it's 6%. To me, it's the sweetness of the maple that's going to make anything tough to push through, right? Like the maple flavor is pretty strong. And I don't know. I didn't read the back of the can here. Maybe it meant like bourbon aged. They do that sometimes, right? The bourbon barrel.
Budweiser do that for a bit. Like they had a like.
I don't think Ian would appreciate being compared to to Budweiser.
No. I just mean like Budweiser. I think did a beer where they brewed the beer in like a bourbon or a whiskey barrel.
Whiskey barrel and aged stouts are a big thing.
It was
for
disgusting.
A lot of, oh, okay.
Like their beer, it was gross. I just it was in the
this is definitely
black
not
can
disgusting.
For a bit. And it was. Yeah. I remember one of my friends picked it up because he wanted to get a little bit. It was a little bit stronger, but you could taste the bourbon in it. And it was okay. Like,
yeah, there's definitely like a bourbon finish to it.
Yeah. See, maybe it's the
I
beer.
Think for me the maple hits first.
Yes, for sure.
But and stronger. It feels like a bourbon finish. Mm-hmm. I like it.
I like it a lot, yeah. But like I said, I think I'm going to be, oh, you're right. If you're a little patient, towards the end, there's a little bourbon there at the end.
If you're a little patient.
Yeah. Well, I'm normally,
right.
I'm normally
let
not.
I just you guys shoot the shit back and forth as I kind of sat with it in my mouth. And then
right.
Chug it.
Meanwhile, I'm just like sipping away and yammering on. UFC 300, Saturday night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing. It does look like, as we talked about in the first half of the show, a very good card, even if these aren't huge name stars. So we can get to the main event a little later on, because it is supposed to be the biggest one. I'm curious, as you guys look up and down this card, we mentioned all the way down into the prelims, there's good stuff here. What has your attention early on? What, if it's not the main event, and maybe it isn't on a card like this, what fight are you most excited about?
Like Bunda, prelim?
All the way up and down the card, just not the main event. Bunda, why don't you kick us off? Because you've always got a kind of an obscure take or a weird
take.
Well,
he just knows he has
a little deeper knowledge than us. That's fair, yeah.
I'll just go with a quick – I have one, but I'll go with a quick shout-out. I'm happy Jim Miller's on this card.
Yes.
Dana White did so good by throwing him on the card because he's been on UFC 1 and 200. He's fighting Bobby Green. No, I don't care. It's second fight of the night. I love the first fight of the night because you got Cody Garbrandt versus – Divison Figueiredo, who he's moved up, and now that's going to be a crazy fight. But the one I'm very curious to see is the one that they've made a main event that kind of caught people by surprise, but they moved the undefeated Bo Nickel, who has a lot of hype around him.
I knew you were going to pick this fight.
And I think the main reason why, and like he's fighting against Cody Brundage, and don't know much about that guy at all. But
that guy is sacrificial lamb on this night.
Well, and I look at it too in a sense of as I open up the app and I look at it, but the betting line. Take like I don't know if you guys have it open or would you know or whatever.
I saw it the other day. I haven't seen it in the last couple
days. It is ridiculous. Yeah. Like you go up and down the card, there's some favorites. There's, you know, I think my girl, the co-main, Jiang Wali,
yeah.
You know, she's a pretty big favorite at -550
last time I saw her, yeah.
But then you go down, and sorry, I'm mixing it up because Bo Nickel is a -2,500
yeah,
favorite.
Okay, see, I saw him at -21.
Like, you know what? Toss a couple bucks on against him.
Just in case.
It's probably not going to happen.
No.
Yeah. Bo Nickel is an interesting fight in general. Well, and he's
clearly the guy they're looking to showcase here, right? This is exactly. A big event. They want him on, and he's earned a spot on a main card. But there are some fights that you just rung off that are guys who probably deserve a spot on the pay-per-view more than this fight, but they want to make a point here. They want to point out, you know, Bo Nickel, this is our guy, this is somebody coming up, and we're just going to run somebody out there to sacrifice his body for...
Ridiculous.
-2,100, or 25 you're seeing, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a ridiculous
plus line. 1,000, Cody is fighting Bo Nickel. And
like, Creech has got it right. Creech's gambling mind went right to work. Like, I got a couple bucks. Well,
and Bo Nickel has only had a few fights, right? He was the guy that went into the Ultimate Fight, to Dana White Contender Series, yeah. But he won his fight so early that they made him go back for a second time. Then he finally earned his contract. Then he was always just a wrestler. Then he had a crazy knockout. Now you're at UFC 300. And on top of that, you know, with this card filled with, you know, I could list off, but Aljamain Sterling,
yeah.
Yuri Prokaza, you know, Holly Holm fighting Kayla Harrison. I've already brought up Divison Figueiredo, Cody Garbrandt. All of these have been headliners in the last few years. And they're on the early prelims and the middle prelims. Bo Nickel got the spot on the pay-per-view. That's how much they're showcasing him. So that is one fight I'm looking forward to seeing because now he's going to have that extra, you know, fire. Like it's you're right there. But, you know, that's a big line. That's a big fight. It's a big stage. And I think he can fill it. But that's something where, of all the fighters here, I want to see how he kind of handles this kind of a stage.
And that is a statement by the UFC, right? Is this is a guy we want to elevate?
Well, exactly. Anyone shitting on Bo Nickel being on the main card over some other fights just doesn't have an appreciation or understand what they're trying to do.
Well, and the way the guys get paid now, too, right? They're all going to get paid the same, whether you're on the main card or the pay-per-view. So
they want to kick off their 300 pay-per-view with a prospect that they're hoping... much like they did with Sugar Sean and guys like that in the past. Like, that's the same kind of
showcase
situation.
Showcase them a little bit.
So I don't mind that. And because Bundit chose a main card event for your question, I'm also going to go on the main card.
Sure.
And I'm going Oliveira and Sarukin.
Yeah.
I think that could be an awesome
thing. Sarukin's really on the come up, right? Oliveira is, I don't know, this one, I think both of those guys feel like should have title fight ramifications, right? And we'll see because what happens in that BMF title fight. We can talk about that a little bit too.
That's the one that deserves a title shot. Okay, I'm pissed off about.
And we'll see where that goes.
I like the fight. Like, I like the fight. Yeah. I think it's the craziest shit ever. Like, it's...
Yeah, Gaethje versus Holloway.
Because Max Holloway still wants to go for a 145 crown.
Yeah.
Why is he moving up and fighting in this?
To get on 300, I assume.
Yeah.
If he wins this fight,
it doesn't make a lot of sense.
If he wins this fight at 155 against Gaethje, is it his call? Like, does he get to say, I'd like a 155 title shot? I'd like a 145. Could he go back to 145 and say, I'm ready for another title shot? Because he was getting beat around by Volkanovski and now he's out, right? Like, maybe that's the next guy for Ilya Topuria.
Is Max if he wins this fight?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I guess if there's still that, if this is still the stepping stone to kind of jump and do that, because I guess. Obviously, everyone wanted to see the fight in Spain with Sugar Sean, but that is more logistics and making that's down the road.
Do you guys like the BMF title?
Yeah. I don't. I don't mind that. I liked when they had it last, when Gaethje had just won it.
Yeah.
I thought that was him versus Poirier, that was perfect. But the fact that this is his second fight in, like, I don't know, what, 7 or 8 months for this fight— and he's clearly deserves a title shot. Makhachev just wants to fight everybody outside his division. It's kind of really pissing me off that, like, and on top of that, Dana White's already said the winner of Oliveira versus Sukarian is going to be, you know, fighting for the belt next. So it's kind of like, okay, Gaethje's sitting here chilling. He's already beating all these contenders. Like, he beat Poirier. He's ready. He wants that title shot. Poirier was the number two lightweight at the time.
Well, Poirier just got a big win over Benoit, right? Or Benoit Saint-Denis last card.
Well, and that was one, too, where everybody, I think even Poirier was an underdog in that fight. Everybody,
I sure was. I don't bet often. I'm not a sports betting guy. I know I have a personality that can get hooked on these things, so I don't like to do it often.
Smart man.
But I did send my buddy a message who does gamble all the time. I said, find the best line you can on Poirier, because I know he's the underdog, and just throw $20 on it for me, and sure enough.
Nice.
Yeah. I only do it like once, twice. Like, if I'm really feeling something, I'll do it. Otherwise,
wait,
I just don't
if you gave someone else money to do it on an app for you, then that indicates you.
I don't want the app myself.
Often.
No, I don't want the app myself.
No, that's smart. That's smart.
Just don't ask.
You know that it could get dangerous. Yeah. But you know what? You like Dustin Poirier. He almost lost that fight.
I know.
But
he did not lose it. Nice. So, yeah.
That was the Dustin Poirier special, though. Like, right? Kind of getting to that. You go back to him versus Chandler, and if it wasn't for Chandler being a bonehead in the octagon and not having any fight smarts, like, he should have ended it there.
You always like to rip Chandler on
Chandler's
these,
a goof. Like, he's a goof and he's terrible in the octagon. It just drives me crazy. If it's not McGregor who's juicing, he's got to be right up there anyways. But
they should make a juice belt.
Well, that's what they are.
I don't juice box belt. Chandler.
Well, that's what I mean.
McGregor.
They've announced that if McGregor fights against Chandler, they're going to probably fight at either 170 or 185. Right. This guy was a 145-pound champion, and he's fighting at 185. He fought Cowboy at 170.
Yeah, no,
like, McGregor. Like, oh, yeah, your face has grown. Oh, probably normal. Like, it's such
a Barry Bonson going on.
Yeah, seriously. Matt, do you have any fights on this that you're kind of looking forward
to? Honestly, man, to me, I'm really intrigued by what Kayla Harrison looks like coming in to take on Holly Holm. And Holly Holm has become one of those people who's been around for a long time. I don't expect her to continue to, you know, end up in any more title fights or many more main events. Although last summer, I think she main evented a fight night, but it's a name. And I think Holly Holm is betting on the fact that Kayla Harrison is going to struggle to make this weight.
Yeah.
Like, when I look at that fight, that's the way I see, you know, the home strat, like, get on her early, try and drag her into the deep water and just see, did that weight cut hurt somebody like Kayla Harrison? And Kayla Harrison's another person the UFC made a big deal out of signing, and rightfully so. But Holly Holm is just one of those experienced fighters who's not going to get swept up in the attention and the fact this is a big star coming in potentially. She's going to kind of bide her time, see what that looks like, and really test somebody like this. And so I think it's an interesting fight for Harrison, because if she wins it, that's not a nobody that you just knocked off. And if she loses, well, Holly Holm has sort of now staked her claim again, saying, yeah, no, I'm not an easy test here, right? I know Holly Holm's best days are behind her, but she's not a pushover. She's not a walkover. I'm intrigued to see that as a first matchup for Kayla Harrison.
I'd just like to applaud the host for actually picking a prelim, following the rules and not picking a main card fight on his question. So in the spirit of that, I will go back to your initial question and I will answer Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt, because I think somebody's getting knocked out.
Yeah.
It's probably Cody Nochin, but both of those guys are going to be swinging for knockouts.
Yes.
So it should be highly entertaining. So,
am I right? Are the prelims on ABC instead of ESPN Plus? Or I thought I saw they might have been on ABC.
They're on IPTV.
IPTV. Yeah. That a boy
creature. Creature's
got that a boy creature.
ESPN Plus.
Okay. So I was mistaken about that. But that would have been an interesting place to put, you know, ESPN has, you know, obviously is owned by the same company as owns ABC. This would have been one of those times where maybe you consider moving those prelims onto a Saturday, really hook people for a big card. Apparently they chose not to do it. I guess I read that wrong somewhere, but yeah, it's a stacked card. We can move back onto the main event. I'm feeling a little bit, you know, Bunda, you referenced your girl, Zhang Wei Li. I think she's legit. I feel like this fight feels a little forced. Now, maybe if this was a time you were going back to China, this would have been a perfect time to headline, or the perfect type of fight to headline a card like that. This sort of feels to me a little like what we were talking about, is like, how do we get some names on here? How do we get some title fights on here? How do we get something done while we're trying to build a big card? And Zhang Wei Li is totally legit for that and can hang in a spot like that. But when you compare that to back at 200, when it was Nunez versus Misha Tate as the champion, this to me doesn't quite carry the same water or the same heft. Like, are you guys feeling that as well? Or like, as a co-main, that's on a card like this, it feels high.
I think it's a big fight because she's fighting the number one contender in the strawweight division. So it's big. People have been hyping up on Yan for a little bit here now for her fighting Zhang Weili. And I think Zhang Weili is what she's already, I think it's the biggest favorite of the night, yeah, other than Bo Nickel,
yeah,
which is a more reasonable favorite. I can't remember what the exact line
minus
is.
Minus 550.
Yeah, yeah. So which is pretty good.
Yep. I'm currently putting together a prop of Zhang Weili, Bo Nickel, against them.
Yeah. Right.
And what was the other one?
Hit big.
Holly Holm.
And
that's going to be, we'll figure out that a little bit.
See, this
bit
is exactly why I don't have these apps on my phone, because I do stuff like this.
Yeah. $2 underdogs?
I get it. That's not
it's not going to happen, no. But that's why I'll throw $2 on
sure.
It.
The strawweight division, though, is kind of struggling for some kind of big-time fighters. Now, Tatiana Suarez is moving up the rankings, but Yan is the number one, you know, contender here. I think this is going to be a great fight. I think it's an underrated fight of the night fight on this kind of a card, because it's just something
that's ballsy talk.
Well, there's so many big names and so many big fights we're all going to be looking at. Like,
there's so many of these fights that look like they could be wars.
Here's the thing, okay?
Fight of the night. Exactly.
Here's the thing. You're right in your initial assessment. It shouldn't be co-main. Just when you have a fight like Gaethje and Holloway, Oliveira, Sarukin on there.
Yeah.
But it's a championship.
Yeah.
So it has to be the co-main. Like it.
No, certainly.
That's why it's there. But I it's still, like, to Bunda's point, I think it's still going to be a really good fight or an entertaining. But yeah, if you were just to rank the main card fights of what should be where.
Right.
It wouldn't be co-main.
Yeah. Yeah, on merit, right? On interest, on what's making people buy the show. No, that's fair. But that's your girl. Do you think she's in any jeopardy here?
No. Yeah, I think she's really good. I have seen a couple of Yan's fights. I think Yan's fight's been pretty good.
Yeah.
But I just think Zhang Weili is in kind of her own kind of world right now. She's in that element where, like I said, Tatiana Suarez is one. I'm curious to see what happens after this one, but I'll be a great fight to see. I'm more excited to see that than I would be for this one. But Yan's been a great fight. Like, I want to see how it goes. I agree with you guys. Like, it's championship versus number one contender, so I'm okay
it's
with
legit.
It being the co-main.
Yeah.
But again, I look at this and I think, like, Zhang Weili is so good, so well-rounded, and she's really kind of put Doug Rose in the past, because you guys love her. Everyone
sure
loves
do.
Doug Rose.
I love Weili as well, but Doug Rose is, she's just a cool personality.
Everybody loves Doug Rose. I've always loved karate fighters, and Zhang Weili is just, she's been so well-rounded, so good. This is a fight that, if I was safest, like I said, there's a reason why she's already the second biggest favorite on the card. I think this one's good. I think I'm more curious to see her kind of how she handles this fight, if it goes a distance, if it's quick work or whatever, and maybe she does get upset. I'm not sure what happens here, but that's what I love about the UFC and fighting. It's why I'm so drawn to it, as you never really know. Fighters.
Sure, there's always, like you and I both sat here before Nunez lost her title, and
yeah, puncher's chance, man. That's what you always have in this, in these fights, but I'm curious to see after the fact that, how quickly they make a fight with her and Tatiana Suarez.
Sure. Yeah. Well, let's get to the main event here and talk a little bit about what's gone on here over the last calendar year for Alex Pereira, and he's going to take on Jamahal Hill. There's a lot of things going on here. Pereira, you know, has only been in this division for 18 months, maybe not even, you know, since he beats Izzy, loses to Izzy, moves up, beats Izzy's, maybe it's unfair to phrase it this way or frame it this way, but he, you know, Izzy moved up, tried to take on Blachowicz and lost. Pereira comes up, handles Blachowicz no problem. Now he's staring down Jamahal Hill. Jamahal Hill's no joke, but Jamahal Hill's coming off an Achilles injury, a torn Achilles, just last July. And I know there's sort of degrees to these things where nothing is 100%, nothing is the same across athletes, but often you're talking like 12 to 15 months coming off an Achilles. This has been 9 for this guy. It feels to me, and I'm willing to be corrected certainly by you guys if you're feeling differently about this, like he's pushing a bit. They took all these shots at getting big main events. They were striking out all over the place, and they went to Jamahal Hill and said, can you be ready by mid-April? And for a chance to main event UFC 300, he probably went, yeah, I'm good. I'll make that happen. That's a little unfair. I'm not seeing his medical reports, and if I did, I wouldn't know how to read them. But This feels fast, doesn't it? A little bit.
Okay, so that was my initial take on this fight.
Yeah.
Is I'm like, I'm taking Pereira.
100%.
9 months, Achilles.
Yeah.
You don't know, like typically, like if you just want to talk about it from an NHL angle or NFL angle, guys that have gone through this, it takes
the Aaron Rodgers injury.
Well, and King we haven't Carl. Seen him come back. Like, he came back very quickly, but
Eric
he hasn't
Carlson
come back.
Too, right?
But,
well, his wasn't a tear as much as a cut.
Those are completely
right?
different things because Aaron Rodgers was apparently ready
we ever see
quicker
the,
than anyone, but he didn't return to game action.
Eugene's,
whereas a guy like Eric Carlson came back,
did we
and he wasn't
the...
himself, right? Like, he wasn't himself.
No, of course not.
It
took some
and
time.
I haven't seen the Eugene
Miller. What was it called? It was the...
He was going to get
it. Was some sort of investigation. He was
forensic.
Forensic yes, investigation.
Yes.
Yeah. We're waiting still.
My God. Let's not.
Those results will be back anytime.
We could go off for an hour, but shit like that.
100%.
Yeah. 100%. Put that in the past.
Yeah.
On to better times.
But you're thinking this is a little different?
So, okay. Yeah. This is where I'm going is with. That's what I was thinking. I'm like, 9 months. You never know how the athlete's going to respond. Mm-hmm. And he's the type of power puncher that uses his legs to he's not going to pick you off like some people will like an Izzy could kind of thing
right.
like he I'm not saying he doesn't have the ability, but he will use his power off his weight, off his feet to generate those power shots. So how is that going to respond? But then where I started as I really started reading and listening to experts analyze this is his 1-2 down the middle. Pereira keeps his hands down a lot.
That's
how he got tagged by Izzy.
Yep.
So I'm not ruling out Hill at all. Like I keep going back and forth because initially I was like you. I'm like, I'm going Pineda all day on this. And now I'm like, I don't know. He could get caught. He could get smoked. We've seen him get smoked. And I don't know if you guys would agree with me, but I think we probably all agree that Jameel Hill has more power than than Izzy.
I think so.
With his hands.
But the one thing that would, you know.
Count out his kicks either? I
well,
don't
that's
know.
The part that scares me a little bit, and especially with how Pareto likes to check kicks and, you know, what's Hill's legs going to be like coming off this injury. We'll see. But I would feel like Jamal Hill facing a kickboxer like Pareto here, I think he would like to get him to the ground. And the thing I worry about a little bit is that ability to shoot the legs with the power, with the speed you'd want coming off an Achilles injury, if it's not
that's
quite
definitely the big question mark.
Where it you'd want it to be. Bunda, you're sort of sitting back waiting to pick one of us off here maybe a little bit. I don't know where you stand on this, but to me, that's sort of the I'm with Creech. I like Hill's power, but I would want to get to the ground against a guy like Pareda and take my chances there, and I'm not sure he's going to have that explosiveness to get the legs. Where do you stand on this fight?
And you got
to
get him down there too, right?
Yeah.
Brokovic struggled to do that, right? And he was a guy that's where, you know, his bread and butter was against Izzy. He took him down and was able to lie on
right.
him.
Right, whereas Pareda stuffed him a few times.
Izzy could barely even make 185.
Yeah,
I think he was, 191 fighting for, you know, a 205 belt? Like, come on. That was, or not, it was just...
Yeah,
it,
when he
it,
went
it
to the Blachowicz fight and he's eating pizza at the weigh-in.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. And I think but he weighed in like 191.
Yeah.
But
whereas Pineda's just a beast anyways.
Yes.
Yeah,
Burr right.
is a guy that I think walks around as a heavyweight and he was fighting middleweight. And
right.
so now he moved up to lightweight. And I think that I've already seen there's rumors
light
of
heavyweight,
he wants to fight at heavyweight and move up to light heavyweight. But for this fight, the rumors were that this was supposed to be at 301 in Brazil, right? You know, you had the champ here, and that's the thing, and it was kind of rushed to move forward. I am worried about the health of a guy like Jamal Hill getting the chance to, like you said, headline 300. I think it's something that is definitely something to watch in this fight, but I could see this just being an absolute fucking war. These two guys love to just throw. Pereira doesn't really care much for anything other than throwing.
Right.
He wants to kind of get into it, like Creech said, his hands are down.
Yep.
He wants to get you up against a cage and just try and pick you apart and finish it. But Jamal Hill is a guy that... He's got the bigger kind of body. He's kind of got when you look at him, he's kind of like a chubbier heavyweight, light heavyweight kind of guy, right? You look
bowling
at him
for soup kind of guy.
Yeah, bowling soup, definitely a couple of chubbos. But when you look at a guy like Pereira, like the guy's shredded, right?
As
there's a difference between Jamal Hill. He's kind of not as shredded, but he's a bigger body. He does have that ability to take down. I don't think he's going to want to try that in this kind of a fight. I
you don't think Jamal Hill wants to get to the ground?
I don't think so. I think this is one where he wants to just keep it up and just, you know what, let's just box
take our
it out.
Chances,
and fighters punch his chance. And I think
agree.
It's one that I think is just he sees. It takes. There's first off, I think it's going to take just as much pressure putting weight on your back foot and, you know, going for a leg, right?
Yeah.
And striking and, you know what, all right, there he goes. He's shooting in there. And that's going to take a lot of pressure. And then you might not get it. So then you got him up against a cage. There's so much more pressure. I think his – me personally, I think his better option is to just – puncher's chance. You might, I think Pareto wins this one because he's so precise and so accurate and well-timed.
Yeah.
But like Creech said, hands are down sometimes. He gets lazy. So Jamahal Hill, he's got a couple knockouts under his belt too. Like this guy is a bit of a beast. He's
he can do
power.
It. Yeah.
So I think that this one is going to be just a whatever. I honestly don't know.
I keep going back and forth.
Honestly.
I think Pareto wins, and I think it's going to be a first or second rounder because these guys know, let's just get this fight fucking over with. Like, I think Pareto, that's his mindset going into every fight.
Did you see him ask for the autograph this week?
No.
I did not.
He's got a sweater for UFC 300 that he's getting everyone on the card to sign.
That's cool.
So he went up to Pareto and he's like, yeah, I know we're fighting, but can you sign this?
Sign my shirt.
That's cool. Good for him to
do
something weird like that.
Did Pareto do it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Good. I like that.
And good for Pineda to do it, too. I could see them just giving him
fuck you.
No, it actually seemed cool. Like, there was
I'll
no animosity
in your
or
blood
anything.
On Saturday.
Like, I know we're fighting each other.
Yeah. I like that, man. It's a big moment for him. This is as big of a fight as Jamahal Hill's ever had.
But that's where my mindset is, though. I think, like you brought up, I think that he's just happy and jacked up to be a main event guy here. I know he wants
to
win.
It's just the Achilles. How does he respond?
And I know he wants to.
You saw Max Pacioretty.
Yeah.
Come back and suffer.
That was tough,
like,
right?
It's just brutal.
When you look at it, like to me, I don't know. For all I know, he's totally good to go.
Yeah.
And I assume he might be. But it feels early and it feels a little like the opportunity to main event 300 might have made you go, I probably needed another 4 or 5, 6
That's why
weeks.
Initially but, I was against him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm still going Pereira, but I think for Jamahal Hill, nothing against him. But
we're all taking Pareto, right?
Little bit of an experience too, right? Mm-hmm. This is a pretty big moment for him, and I don't want to say fighters go into that like looking to put on a show, but that's the vibes I get from Hill, because I know that this guy cares. Like, look, he never lost his belt, right? He beat Glover Teixeira when that mattered a lot to him, and he lost his fight due to this, or lost his belt because of the Achilles injury. So I think he's still going in to win this belt, but I think you get to these points, like, and again, he's 32, but he's relatively new, and he's, you know, Dana White Contender Series guy. He's the first ever Dana White Contender Series champion. He beat Sugar Sean to it, though. But this is a guy that I think is going into this fight with, I'm excited and I'm jacked up to be the main event of UFC 300. Like, that's something where that's
the part that actually mindset. Scares me a little. Did that make him speed up his rehab a little?
Well, does it make him a crazy, insane motherfucker
could.
That gets in there and
certainly
and,
could?
And he just pushes
and he's got
against
the power.
The
he, like he could
oh,
do
yeah,
it.
Man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm taking him. I think.
Okay,
I'm not convinced on it. Like,
and it's a pretty tight line too. He's only +110.
Yeah, no, it's not a big. Like,
like, it's a good line.
Yeah,
like, that's a tough pick'em almost, right?
Yeah. What do you think of? And let's just say, just for argument's sake, just because it could be fun, just because it needs a boost, let's say Pareda dusts him off pretty quick. Doesn't suffer much damage. They're 3 weeks out from 301 in Brazil, where you pointed out they wanted Pareda initially. If he dusts Hill quick, you think there's any chance they do that crazy? We've seen it once or twice before. They've turned guys around fast, throw them on there, even if it's just somebody who's going to have to donate his body for Pareda to come out. Like, you're not going to get another title fight necessarily. You know, a 14th ranked guy to get Pareda onto that Brazil. Any chance at all? Either
so
you guys
I'll
think?
Directly to Bunda here, because I don't like what would be next for him at light heavyweight. Like,
it's tough, right? Like, who's
trying
next?
To look
who's
it up,
rested? And there's nobody. Like, you couldn't make a Pareda versus a number 3 guy. You'd have to let him fight somebody because he's not going to have a full camp either, right? It's three.
There's
be
no
three
way
weeks.
Unless
there's
he,
no way
unless he asks. Like,
I've seen the only reason I bring it, I've seen Helwani floated. I've seen it just as a pie in the sky. Because that have you seen that 301 card? It's pretty.
Pantoja's the headliner, but I look at this.
It's pretty light.
My only problem with it is the issue is when you look at the UFC 300 card. The other guy, Yuri Prokaza, like, he's fighting in the prelims against Alexander Rakic.
Yeah.
So, like, there's already two of
so
you guys.
No.
Yeah.
You'd be fighting.
Yeah.
And then, so I don't know who he'd fight at UFC 301.
So you wouldn't.
But I look at the rankings and it's like, okay, like, Prokaza's number 2. Ankalaev is 3. Do you really want, like.
Ankalaev could do it.
Sure. I don't know.
When did he last fight?
I think he was on 98.
Yeah, he fought recently enough, but he fought January 13th.
But remember, he
beat Johnny Walker.
Yeah, so that would have been Tiny Nate. He could do it.
Yeah, he had a knockout in the second round against Johnny Walker.
That card they're running out there, 301 in Brazil, it's light. It's not a good card. And I wonder if he gets out of there pretty easy, which is a huge presumption, right? Jamal Hill, yeah, I assume, is going to land some shots here. But if he was to, we've seen it sometimes, right? You dust somebody quick.
If he wants it, he'll do it. I'm sure that Dana White will find a way to do it.
It would be, absolutely, as you suggest there, it'll be as much up to him as anybody else.
And I think that's the thing now is, I don't want to say they owe Dana White a favor, but, you know, when you find out that those two were asked about the fight the night before, that Aaron's not the night before, but the day before they announced the fucking fight. Yeah. Like, that's a pretty ridiculous thing to do. And then, he was expected to headline 301. I don't think he does. I don't even think that's ever happened in the UFC where you've headlined one UFC.
Tito did it to then do it back in 2008, something like that. I can't remember against
he did back to back pay per views.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was Tito though. Back to back fights. Yeah, dusted somebody quick, came back. It was a little after his top run, but he kind of had this resurgence where it was like, oh my god, maybe he's coming back.
But that was like two back in the day.
You don't see it often. I'm not saying spread out.
They didn't do paper. Like, they didn't do.
No, that's right.
Once a month.
No,
you're right. That was a thing. Like, I don't know. I'd have to double check if Creech is looking it up or not right now. But I don't think they would.
It was 08, 09, something like that.
Had anyone headlining two pay per views in a row would be pretty cool. That's a pretty big thing to do.
I'm not suggesting it's likely. I just wonder if you think there's any chance they'd do it, because that card in Brazil right now looks light. And
I think they'll find someone else. Yeah. They brought back Jose Aldo to fight in that. All right, Jose Aldo.
Sure, let's see what happens. Yeah. I guess.
But I don't see it happening. I don't. Okay. I think that.
Sorry, I said, did I say Makhachev? I meant Chimaev. Chimaev did.
On
July
short notice.
16th. July 26th.
During that pandemic year, he went 3 months.
But I mean,
three
headline.
Cards in a row.
I'm talking headline.
No, you're right. Chimaev wasn't yet who he would be. But yeah, during that Fight Island, you know, isolated, whatever, he went, like you said, 10 days in between two, and then fought again a month later, which was wild. So is there anything else on this card that we haven't touched on that either one of you guys have sort of looked at going, that's one I'm not going to miss, or that's what I'm excited for, or that, you know, we're not giving enough attention here? Have we pretty much covered it?
Yeah.
Everything on my end, but
Bunda's always got it, right down to the Facebook fights, right?
Well, no, it's
still we didn't really touch on Gaethje Holloway.
True, that's true. Because I don't think any of us really like the idea of the belt, right? It's not a weight class belt. It's a, you're a crazy fucker belt. You're
No,
you can throw it in there whenever you want, I guess.
And I love Gaethje. My beef is that is I think he deserves a title shot, and he should not be fighting for some fucking phony belt right now against Max Holloway, who stay in your own divisions right now. But I think the one fight we haven't talked about yet is Aljamain Sterling, and he's someone that since he's been the champ, he lost to O'Malley.
I've been the champ.
But like you go back to the fight before O'Malley, and he's talking about moving up. Yeah. I'm moving up. I don't even care. Then he lost to O'Malley, and sure, you know what, I'm an O'Malley guy. It was an iffy stoppage. I still think it was somewhat fair. He wasn't really defending himself. But listen, as the champ, you go back and you watch some of these fights, you think you'd give him the benefit of the doubt, whatever. But Aljamain then went after, I want a rematch. I'm so mad. Why is O'Malley fighting Cheeto?
Right.
Blah, blah, blah. And he started complaining. It's like, dude, you said you were moving the hell up. And then now you're mad. Now he's fighting featherweight against Calvin Kattar.
Well, you think part of his decision to want to move up was he couldn't get by Volk, right? Like every time he got to the top, Volkanovski would beat him back down. Now Volkanovski's lost. Maybe you're willing to go back. Oh, I got another shot at this, right?
That's Makhachev. I'm talking about Aljamain Sterling here.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry.
Aljamain Sterling's
no,
a guy
right.
that
I, you know,
he was
right.
moving
right.
up
you're
a
right.
bit
you're
more.
Right.
And I thought that that's a thing where he's in a spot where I'm curious to see how he fights against Calvin Kattar, because he was so sour and then, you know, mad that he didn't get an automatic rematch against O'Malley.
Oh, you're right.
But
I misunderstood.
Before that, he was upset and he wanted to, or he was just, he didn't even care about O'Malley. So that was the thing. He was so sour. Now he's fighting Calvin Kattar. Okay, let's see how that fight goes. But I think that's a low-key, very good fight. But, you know, if he goes and he cleans his clock, is he staying around? Is he going back at O'Malley? Because O'Malley has to make a decision about who he fights. I know he's called out Ilya Topuria. He wants to fight in Spain, which I think would be a great fight for those two to have.
It sounds like that's not going to happen.
It does. No. It seems less likely.
But, and that's where O'Malley,
that'd be cool.
O'Malley
fun.
Needs to fight Merab. But the whole thing is Merab is, you know,
I
best friends.
Merab.
And he's hilarious.
He's one of my new favorite fighters for sure.
It's hard to believe Steve Creech, we were there. We hosted a show. We covered that UFC in Ottawa, and he was cut after that card. And he beat a Canadian kid there, Brad Katona, who was undefeated, and he beat him. And then his contract just expired. And then he was just like, yeah, right. He took off. Right. I think he had a fight somewhere else, and he got brought back to the UFC, and he's gone skyrocketing. But he's best friends with Merab, Aljamain Sterling. They trained together right back when Aljamain was fighting O'Malley. Merab stole O'Malley's red Michael Jackson coat. He's wearing it. He still has it. It's such a big thing. But if Aljamain wins this fight against Calvin Kattar, does he go out and say, I want my rematch against O'Malley right now before right. my buddy Merab? Like, that's the
no,
thing.
I think he stays up. I think Merab is going to fight Sugar Sean next. And yeah. I
have to.
I heard Sugar Sean talking about how he's heard that Sterling is, because he doesn't have to cut weight really, he's just eating pizza and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's not how you get it. Like, you know, you got to be fine-tuned for this. And maybe he's just hearing bullshit or whatever. Sure. So I am interested to see that fight. But the reason I bring that up is I get the sense that he's staying at 145.
It sounds like
just because lost his title. And yeah, he's right. He probably did deserve a rematch. But now that Sugar's the champ, and now that Merab's getting the next title fight, who he refuses to fight, and Dana White hates that shit when guys refuse to fight each other, I think he stays up.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably stays up.
Yeah.
Unless he gets embarrassed. Sure. Maybe he comes back down. And
yeah. Yeah, Holloway is going to be the interesting one, right? What does he want to do? If he wins, does he want to stay up? Does he want to go down? You know,
Max says he wants 145.
Yeah, I know.
And that's the thing.
That's why I don't get this.
But I think there's a lot of stuff happening on this card that was like, yeah, to get on 300, I'll do whatever, right? I'll
well, and Figueiredo moving up to bantamweight, right?
Though.
I guess. He wanted to, he's on it, right? Made it happen.
I love Max. I'm worried for him in this fight.
I would be too. Gaethje, to me, Gaethje, when Bunda talked earlier about guys not being smart fighters, Gaethje's the guy who comes to mind for me. I love watching
him.
He's
really smart.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's crazy as shit. He's crazy.
He's calculated, but he's irresponsible at times.
I think he is. Okay. So we're gonna nitpick between.
Yeah, Cage smarts is a different thing.
I think sure and smart.
When you're a guy like Michael Chandler, which I constantly rip on,
you do.
When you have a guy up against the cage and you have
him
dazed.
He has no fight IQ.
No, zero. And that's my point. Fight IQ. I think Gaethje goes in there knowing, and that's where I love
watching Gaethje.
Gaethje, I can hear that argument like 3 years ago,
right.
4 years ago.
Well, that's fair.
He's gotten better at that for sure. And he's talked about it. Like he realized that he had to change or else he's just going to be not achieving his goals and also walking around with CTE. So,
and the thing too, when you go back to that fight, is for Max Holloway, you're in a spot now where you're fighting up. But the last time he fought up, he fought Dustin Poirier and he got like killed.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't good. It was kind of, and that's what I mean. So it's something
Max
where
Max has put on weight since then, though. I think he walks around heavier, just getting old.
Me too.
Or whatever, but I agree with you.
But that's the thing. I think I guess you could staple together for a lot of these fights. But even like Figueiredo moving up to bantamweight, like I want to see how he handles that. Right? He's already like he had one big fight. Now he's fighting against a guy Cody Garbrandt. Like I love the guy and all, but like you said, he's been knocked out a good bit. But he's a knockout guy too. So this is a serious fight. When you move up, right, the power is different, the timing's different. Everything 100%. Is so different
of course,
in these fights.
Yeah, yeah.
It matters so much. It happens all the time. It's not often where guys move up and they're electric and they make these crazy. It's very rare because you look at it, the last couple of them and they struggle. Like Izzy's one of them. Like these guys.
Well, Volk was one of them. Moved up for Izzy, didn't work, right?
Well, Volk moved up against Makhachev and he made a great fight out
he
of
that
did. One. And that's the
first time.
Yeah, the second one.
He arguably won that fight.
Yeah, exactly. I'd hear that argument. The second one, obviously not.
But it's
not,
rare,
not
though, right?
No.
You go
didn't
back over
fight.
The you
he
go back over the years. Like Anderson Silva, I think when he moved up one time against Forrest Griffin was a big one too. Like it happens every once in a while, but it's a complete
it's
game changer.
Though.
And then you need to know what's the next move. So even like that fight, I'm so happy it's the first fight of the night because that's going to be just absolute fireworks. But like I said, you go through and I look at Aljamain Sterling when he's fighting Calvin Kattar at 145. There, like that's one. Okay, what's your next move now? Are you sticking out with a featherweight or are you going to move back down to bantamweight? What are you doing here? And that's where, like I said, I look up to what's happening between Gaethje and Holloway. What's Holloway doing here? Are you going to stay up at that lightweight now, or are you going to move back down? Like, what's going on here? And for Gaethje, like, what do you really want? You want that title shot next, but why are you taking this fight? Like, I'm still mad he took that fight, but there's a good couple of fights on here where guys are moving up with so much intrigue, and it's what's the next fight and what's happening here, which maybe is the wrong way to look at it. You don't look at a fight to look at the next one, but I love doing that so much because it's a good way to like predict what's going to happen, but also where someone's head's at. Like,
there's so much of this card that's going to set up what comes next.
Right? Kayla Harrison, like you said, that's one too where that's basically the same thing. She's coming into
a legit UFC where
you got to drop, what, 25, 40 pounds to get into just this fight alone.
I really think that's half the home strategy. It's like, yeah, all right, if you think you can get there, I'll see you there and count on you being worn out. So I'm curious, what's it look like for you guys? Creech, is there a Sens game Saturday night? Is Bakes going to have to handle the phones by himself on the post-game show?
What's, you got Cam Clement there. He'll help you.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to be with Brad Smith on
Smitty, okay.
Smitty.
Saturday. Okay, keeping an eye on the phones, keeping an eye on
Shooter
your phone.
Shooter always brings it. Yeah. No, I don't know my plan. I guess I'm going to PVR the prelims.
Okay. So you'll be kind of quiet in the group chat early on. It'll be.
I won't be talking. Yeah, because I'm going to try to avoid that.
Yeah.
Although, yeah, fuck, I don't know.
It's tough, eh?
I'm probably going to miss. When does it start? When's the main card start?
10.
10?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going to. Shit.
It's going to be tough going,
I'll be able to catch Pereira Hill.
Who are the Sens playing Saturday? Is it likely to be a disappointing
Canadians
post-game show? Okay. Well, that could go either way.
The Canadians, but
if they win, cool. If they lose, that's going to be an ugly night on the phones. Bunda, what are you doing Saturday night? Are you going to be home in time for the main card? What's it going to look like?
I have a couple things that I'm not sure what I'm doing yet. I'm either going to watch it with some friends or it's going to be up at the cottage with my cousins.
Ah, that
I'm
a boy.
Not sure.
All right.
It's a 50-50 spot right now. I'm still figuring out exactly what I want to do.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm not missing it.
No. This has been fun, guys. We started doing these, the three of us, during the pandemic when there was like no other sports happening, and we would do them remotely and COVID was in full swing, and it was awesome to have you guys on, and you know, it was one of very few sports that was still going on, and something we could do a show
credit
on.
Credit to Dana White.
Thank you,
Fight
Dana.
Fight Island.
Right, Fight Island.
Which I'm making an island.
The first time he announced it, I was like,
stupidest thing in the world. That actually was
bastard.
Such a baller move.
Yeah, honestly. And it
remember
ended up,
that first video? Gosh, I'm making an island.
Yeah.
And it sounded like the island would be like the size of the cage, right? Like you're going to be just watching this thing in the middle. Honestly, it was wild. A totally different time. We haven't been able to do too many of these in person, but back in that time period when we were all stuck at home anyway and nothing else was going on, we could have come on here, have a couple beers remotely and talk some fights. It's been tougher to make it happen in person. Everybody's got their own schedule, their own lives going on. And
Creech has this thing called a wife.
Yeah, Creech has got a family now, right? He's got his priorities all
still
messed
dead
up
back
here.
Then. But
I think the beer problem is the Senators.
The Sens are a problem, but we can cover that at a different time. It was awesome to have you guys back in here to do this one. This was so much fun. Thank you so much for doing it, boys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you
glad,
once
glad
again.
Glad to be back with you guys.
Yeah.
And we got to get that TSN weekend reunion going with our guy Lever Sage.
How did we?
I got to get you guys on hand here. We're calling it TCA weekend now. It's not TSN weekend.
Oh,
anymore,
my bad.
Right?
My bad.
Yeah, no, but that, you're right. We'll do the reunion here with Lever and you boys on a weekend show because you
TCA
guys used to tear
weekend.
That up. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's good.
How do we not, though, and especially for you, Maddie, with the partnership between the UFC and WWE now being part of TKO, there's going to be some wrestling appearances. There's got to be a 300, right?
I don't know. What's happening after Pereira Hill this weekend.
We're going to have the Undertaker Kong.
No, it'll be UFC, but it'll be the same script. Same script. That's why I said Anderson Silva.
It was brilliant.
John Jones.
And we have seen a little bit of crossover. Who was the there was a UFC guy who appeared on Raw
Chandler,
not too long
Chandler
ago. Michael
was,
Chandler showed up on Raw.
That's why I'm thinking that there's going to be the announcement for their fight this summer at 300.
I could see it. I could, because there are some things that.
But wrestler-wise, though, is there going to be any wrestlers that are hanging out? Or
Taker
loves it.
Yeah,
he's a big UFC fan.
Yeah, he got in the face of Brock one time, right after what fight was that? When he said, "We're gonna like just it was all faker for nothing."
Yeah, it was to set up the Undertaker versus Lesnar at SummerSlam that year. But yeah, I wonder if that's part of the thing that's.
Was
I don't
he
want to
being
say
interviewed by Ariel or something.
Yes,
and
it was intentionally.
Just, like,
it was on camera.
Yeah, yeah, for
it
sure.
was clearly.
You want to do it?
Set up.
You
want to
do it?
Yeah.
You want to do it?
Stares him down as he walks by.
But do you think there's anything? And you know, I thought we were sort of done here, but I'm.
I was just surprised you didn't bring a wrestling thing into this.
I already asked on
the
WrestleMania front. No, you're right. But UFC 100 was in August. UFC 200 was in July. Do you think it matters at all that this is April, is that one of the reasons this has a little more buzz, or is that completely irrelevant? Like, to me, sometimes the summer ones feel a little bigger in terms of having your patio events and your things like that. Is it completely unrelated?
Unrelated for me. Yeah. I'm down to watch fights at any time of the year.
I do that sometimes. I do that. That's fine. Yeah. That's fair enough. But no, you're right. There are some things that WWE does very well in terms of telling a story, in terms of creating video packages.
Yeah, Summer Mania is perfect. You got to love the WrestleSlam.
The Rock is definitely going to be there Saturday, right? The Rock's already
been... Rock,
the Survivor Rumble.
That is it. The Rock was the headliner for the BMF title fight back in the day. Nate Diaz versus Jorge Masvidal.
Yeah, hand it off the belt.
He's for sure going to be there. All right, that's my second prediction.
Rock looked a little sore on Monday night after what he'd gone through over the weekend.
Didn't he have like a 45-minute fight the night on the Saturday?
Yeah, he's 51 years old and he got...
Rock's 51.
Yeah, got slammed through a table. He was looking a little...
It's amazing how...
No stunt doubles, eh? Like, good
for that
guy.
Like, I was reading up on some of them. I know I joke around with WrestleSlam and shit. That just goes back to the TSN weekend days. Because I would say that, and like Lee would go sideways.
Get
like,
fired
he couldn't.
Up. Yeah.
If I say WWF, he couldn't finish his sentence.
They call it the WWE now. You know, they've been doing that for 20 years.
So I do it just to have fun.
Sure. No, I get it.
But I don't even know where I was going. Well, I was reading out, like Edge, like that guy's like 50 as well. Like there's so many dudes that are still wrestling that are in their 50s. That's nuts.
There is a lot of that going on. Yeah, for sure. And
does Vince make an appearance though?
I would imagine he is persona non grata at this point.
Listen,
yeah.
Dana White trots out with friggin' the president of the United States at one point. Yeah. He's been impeached and
he's getting good ovations though, that president. So
yeah.
I guess they'll keep.
Yeah, Donald will be there. 300. Yeah. I bet you he's there.
Him walking out again with Kid Rock and
special to walk in.
Honestly,
yeah,
kind of weird. All right, I don't want to get bogged down on the Donald Trump thing. I'm gonna bite my tongue and we'll move along from there. Honestly, guys, this was a lot of fun. I hope we can do this a little more often. As Creech said, part of the problem on so many fronts is the Ottawa Senators. They are they're a problem. But they'll be done shortly.
They will. They will.
I was leaving the door open for you to slam their provincial counterparts, who will also perhaps be done shortly.
That's just a given.
Okay. It didn't even need
to be
said.
We'll see you in 7 to 10 days after?
7 to 10 days.
What an asshole. Maybe that allows the door to be open a little more over the summer. We can do a couple more of these, but it's always fun to get you guys in studio together. Like I said, these UFC previews that we've started tying into the show were with you guys through the pandemic, and so it's pretty cool we can get you both in here. Thank you for doing it, guys.
Thanks for the beers.
100%. Yeah, cheers, man. Enjoy 300.
That's going to be sweet. That's where we'll wrap this one up. For Graham Creech and Steve Bunda, my name is Matt Robinson. Thank you so much for listening. Stick around on Friday morning. Arden Zwelling from Sportsnet will be here. We'll talk some Blue Jays. The homestand has gone a little bit better than the road trip so far, so we'll get into a lot of that. Rob back after a couple weeks away on Monday. Stick around for all of it. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Yo, Warriors are drinking it down. Raise your voices and stare at this town. We're the champions of crowd.